Welcome to the Gay Amish Podcast. I am your hostess with the mostess, James Swartz, author of The Literary Party, Growing Up Gay and Amish in America, available on Amazon Kindle. Each episode, I will be discussing a topic relevant to Amish, LGBTQ Amish, and the Anabaptist diaspora at large. Join me. Wie bist du? Welcome to the Gay Amish Podcast. I am your hostess with the mostess, James Swartz. For today's episode, number 4, I wanted to sort of take a step back and sort of approach this with a more personal narrative. There's a lot of issues and topics that I really want to cover in my podcast series for this season, and I'm not reading from a script. I'm just like freestyling off the top of my head. So sometimes I have to come back to a topic, or I lose my train of thought and realize it later, and then kind of have to sort of circle the wagon. For today's episode, I wanted to, first of all, give my condolences to a friend who recently passed away from suicide. And, this is really difficult to talk about, but, you know, I've lost so many people, in my life. From an early age on, first of all, growing up Amish, we go to so many funerals of people we know and people we don't know, or people we, you know, casually know. I've probably been to well over 50 Amish funerals. Like, maybe it's closer to 100. I mean, even as a kid, I remember going to funerals in Indiana. My father's family was from Bern, and he had a lot of relatives and people he knew in Bern. So it's like, I remember going to Indiana a lot too for these funerals as a child. And my mother passed away when I was 9. That was my first major, major. That was my first experience, you know, losing a parent, someone close to me. And it was really rough because I didn't get any counseling. No one really spoke to me about my mom's passing away. Actually, no one spoke to me. I never had any conversations, and I wasn't really encouraged to talk about. I mean, my father was grieving, and he was in mourning for a long time. I mean, my mom was a really amazing, wonderful person. I mean, my dad had his moments for sure, but I mean, my mom was absolutely, I thought she was an angel. And she passed away from cancer. And I mean, that was when I was 9, so I remember her being ill beforehand. And at night, she would wait until she thought Dad and I were sleeping. And then she would get up and go out to the dining room and sit by the stove to rub her back because her back hurt so bad. And I would get up and rub her back for her. And Yeah, the whole experience was incredibly traumatic for me. And then it's like, after she passed away, I wasn't really encouraged to talk about or discuss her passing. So my mom passed away from cancer. But there are occasionally suicides within the Amish community. If you do a Google search for Amish suicides, there are several articles that come up in regards to that topic. And if you're Amish or have interest in the Amish, it's worth reading up on. But I was just thinking of all the people that I've lost over the years, like friends and family. When I was a teenager, my sister passed away. She got ill really suddenly and passed away really suddenly. And that was incredibly traumatic for my father, m more than any of us, because she lived next door to us and she was closer to my father than others in the family. And I really have a rocky relationship with my siblings because when I was like 3 or 4, yeah, I was probably, I don't know, maybe even 5. One of my siblings beat me to the point where I had to go to the emergency room the next day. I don't really talk about that much, but it's true. And there wasn't a, like, you know, I didn't grow up with a constant physical abuse, but my father had his moments as well, where he physically punished me. But yeah, so in terms of like major loss, my sister's passing was really devastating for the fa entire family, really. And I mean, I didn't really have a great relationship with her because when I was younger, we were okay. But as I grew older, there was like a turning point because it's kind of funny now because we all left the Amish. All of my siblings. My oldest brother was the total rebel, and he ended up moving to Texas. And, you know, if you had to sum up his life in 2 words, those words would be beer and prostitutes. That was my crazy oldest brother. So my sister, she left the Amish, but she joined a non-denominational church. So she wasn't Amish. She lived next door to us. And you know, this was before the age of cell phones, right? And back then, the common thing was, I mean, I guess it's probably still common somewhat in the Amish community, but you would go to your non-Amish neighbors to use their phone to call a driver when you had to go someplace that was too far for the horse and buggy. So we had a key, you know, to her house in case we needed to use the phone for that reason. I'm like a teenager and I'm at a bookstore and there's these gay magazines, you know. The first time I had seen them, my mind was blown. And Yeah, I stole magazines, honey. I stole them. And one of them was like the Advocate magazine, and the other one was like Inches, gay porn mag. And there was these 900 numbers on the back, like for gay phone sex. And like, when you grow up Amish, you don't really, maybe some are better informed than others, but you really have no understanding of like sex. You don't get the birds and the bees talk. You don't have anything to reference. You don't watch television, so you're just clueless. I mean, I was like probably more clueless than others. So I'm looking at the back of these magazines and I'm thinking, wow, yeah, I need to get in on this. You know, I need to call these people and like I was kind of making a connection, like gay, you know, it was like I knew I was attracted to men. I wasn't attracted to women sexually. And I kind of knew that, like my peers were talking about their girlfriends and I just had zero interest. But so I wait until my sister goes to work. I go to her house. I call these numbers and I experience gay phone sex for the first time. Not that I really got anything out of that. But yeah. The perfect crime, right? Until the phone bell comes in. And I come in the house one day and my sister's sitting there. She's incredibly dramatic, right? She's shaking and pale and, you know, if she was wearing pearls, she would have been clutching them. Like, my father's very stern and yeah, I don't remember what happened. I guess my father had to pay her a couple $100 for the phone bill or something. I was in trouble for it, but that was like a turning point in my relationship with my sister, because after that, you know, like even her children, they were pretty indifferent to me, I would say, and I was pretty indifferent to them. But after that, there was a real hostility going on, and animosity, and homophobia, absolutely. They were better educated than me, so they knew. You know, they were probably speculating on my sexuality, which I didn't know. Like, they knew more about being gay than I did because they lived a very privileged life. Like, all of their needs were met, and they were going to school, college, and they had vehicles, and everything they wanted was provided for them. Like, I know this sounds like shocking. But like my whole life, like the most money I've ever had in my entire life was a couple hundred dollars, which, you know, goes for rent. Like, and yeah, so they're just next door, but they're like a world away on another planet. They have no idea what it's like being Amish. And I got the sense that they sort of looked down on me. You know, their stinky, dirty Amish cousin. But, you know, that's the way it was. And that was the turning point. And, you know, a couple years after that, that was when my sister got ill and passed away. And, my fa she my father and hospice was involved. My father goes over to her house next door and comes back, like, and I've never seen him so upset in my entire life. Like he was like crying, and he was just like it, because they wouldn't let him in the house, you know. They were going through their own thing, and it was, I guess, her husband or kids wouldn't let him in the house, and he just cried and cried and cried. Like, I've never seen my father so upset. He's like, I just want to take care of her. I just want to take care of my daughter. Why won't they let me see her? And so he was, you know, it was an incredibly traumatic time for him, for all of us. But I got the sense that she was really his favorite child. But you know, he and I picked up on that, and you know, I couldn't believe that they wouldn't let my dad in the house, and you know, I began returning the animosity. You know, I didn't like my cousins after that. I thought they were horrible people. And you know, over the years, after I came out as gay, they made sure to express their disapproval, and message received, you know. But there's nothing, I mean, it really didn't have any bearing on my life because they were never really in my life. I really didn't know them. And it's like I don't know a lot of my cousins and family because I've never been around them much. When I became an adult, like one thing that completely shocked me, blew me away, was seeing my friends, like my friends' siblings would call and like on a weekly or sometimes daily basis to check in on them or like whatever, like, you know, hey, how are you? And I, you know, like that just blew my mind because in my personal experience, I would see my siblings every couple years by chance if I was at a store or something. So I haven't really ever talked much about my sister, or you know, really my mother much. But like looking back and like tallying up the figures, I've lost so many people I knew over the years, like friends, some family. People, yeah, friends later in adulthood. And then, yeah, as an adult, people that I knew in my LGBTQ community. And several people from suicide. So, I know that Amish suicide really isn't discussed much. The Amish believe that suicide is a sin. It's a sin to take your own life. It's like akin to murder. Which is why Amish aren't really big into like guns, because, you know, guns kill people. And Amish are pacifists and conscientious objectors during wartime. But there have been instances, cases of Amish suicide, and I've known an Amish person too that ha that took their life. A lot of times in that instance, some people don't know it's suicide. They're told it's something else, right? But obviously, when that does happen, it's difficult for everyone. So one thing I would say is, yeah, just check in on your friends and make sure they're doing okay. It's incredibly traumatic when that happens. So, if you have experienced the loss of a loved one, you know personally what it's like. I remember, I was trying to think of the first time that I, you know, personally, experienced the loss of someone through suicide. And I think that was one of our neighbors. I'm not sure really like what his profession was, but Yeah, he was our neighbor. He was not Amish, but he ended up taking his life, and that was one of the first times that I had heard of, like someone dying by suicide. So, yeah, all of the loss throughout the years, like going through, I sort of did this mental list of everyone I know that has passed away, and it's pretty long. I've had people that I went to school with have passed away. People that I, used to go clubbing with have passed away, and it's tough. It always is. So, one of the takeaways from this study that I read on Amish suicide was they have a lower suicide rate because there's strong community support. You're always being checked on by people in your community. But that sort of highlights the risk of LGBTQ Amish, because we get shunned. We don't have community support. We don't have family support. We're not allowed to even see our families. When you are shunned, you are separated from your family and your community. That means you cannot see them at all. You cannot go, to their house and visit them. You cannot speak to them. You cannot be around them. Like, you are completely cut off and isolated. And I've had an Amish friend that passed away. He was gay. And, when you're gay and Amish, you have two choices. You can either suppress your sexuality, you can, go through the motions, you can join the church, you can get married, you can perform your husbandly duties, but you absolutely have to, you can't tell anyone that you're gay, and you definitely are not allowed to act on it. So that's one choice you have. The other choice is coming out. And if you choose to come out, to be true to yourself, to live with authenticity and integrity, there is consequences for that. You will be shunned by the Amish. You will be shunned by your family, and a lot of times there's abuse that goes along with that. Your family will harass you and make your life a living hell. I mean, I remember when, one of my siblings found out I was gay, their response was, well, James can't come to my house because I don't want his AIDS on my dinner plate. And I mean, I didn't even know what AIDS was at that point. Like, why would I? I'm Amish. I barely know what being gay is. I mean, like, this was all new to me. And the response from my siblings was not supportive at all. The response from anyone in my family really wasn't supportive. I mean, there were several people that did not say anything negative to me, but they said negative things about me later, but we live in changing times, and we're all trying to create a better world for, future generations. And I feel that by coming out, I feel that by, living my truth, by by being an artist that I am trying to make a difference for future generations, because I am not the only gay Amish, and there are many gay Amish, and there will continue to be gay Amish, and the conflict between being gay and Amish, and the whole practice of shunning by the church, being excommunicated, will continue until the Amish find a way to resolve that conflict within themselves. They're, they have a very fundamentalist outlook, which is not helpful. Personally, I have a theory, which, I mean, everyone disagrees with me about my theory, but it's quite simply that, if you're not a Roman Catholic, you're not a Christian. And I can hear your outrage from here. But, it's once the Reformation happened, and there's Protestant Christians, it's like do-it-yourself Christians, right? Like, something is lost, and when you move away from the earliest, the church, the traditional, when you move away from that, there really is something is lost in the process. But that's just my opinion. But religious ideology, Christianity, the Mennonite Church literally split in half over this issue of supporting gay marriage. And I have family that are Mennonite, and when the split happened, despite having a gay family member, they chose to go with the anti-gay faction of the Mennonite Church, and they are quite pleased with their decision. Sad to say, but it is what it is, so many people are incredibly ignorant, and they're comfortable in their ignorance. They don't want to learn and grow, because then they would have to change their position and admit that they were wrong, and they can't deal with that. So, it's kind of like when I talked in an earlier episode about during my father's funeral, one of the Amish preachers had to throw in some anti-gay talking points while looking directly at me. But that just gives you an idea of not only the ignorance, but the pettiness, like, it's my father's funeral. You're a preacher. You should be offering me comfort, and instead you're attacking me because of your own fundamentalist ignorant beliefs. But it shows you the priorities of his heart. So thank you all very much for the sort of rambling podcast today. I know I've kind of been all over the map, but again, I don't have a script. I'm just sort of freestyling, and each episode, I'm not really sure where I'm going with it, but I hope you enjoyed listening to something that we in the Amish really should discuss more, and that is suicide prevention. And just loss and dealing with grief. I guess one last point I would like to make is, when you lose a loved one, whether it's through suicide or whether it's through illness or It's good to seek counseling, grief counseling, and you definitely should you should get counseling. Within the Amish, counselors, if you really need counseling and you go to your bishop and you tell him that, he'll counsel you on the spot and he'll counsel you with scriptures. And I mean, it's real. And also, I would like to point out, in terms of the being gay and Amish, some families will send you to conversion therapy, which is banned in some states and countries. It's incredibly harmful. But yeah, you're counseled with like scriptures that are really, it's not helpful, at all for anyone. So, if you are Amish or non-Amish and you have suffered loss, you should definitely get counseling for that, because I mean, I had to go through the loss of my mother and my sister and other people without counseling, and I know how incredibly important it is to receive that. So, if you need or feel you need counseling, definitely get in touch with a suicide prevention group if possible. So, thank you all so much for listening, and until next time.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.